And that's what you have in verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 4, what Emil just set before us. But how wonderful, Brother Chuck, we read verse 4 and 5. Is that what we read?
Yeah, I thought we might add 6, 2. Just kind of mention it if you are free to.
Mm-hmm. Right, so those verses from 4 to 6 bring us really on the line of sonship. Right? No longer having a tutor or a governor or a supervisor that helps to make decisions for a child. You know, you think of a child king, doesn't know what it is to run a kingdom and will make perhaps, you know, decisions according to his knowledge as a child. Let's have Skittles for everyone this afternoon, as opposed to food that is needed to sustain the people in the kingdom. But now the child grows into a son. There's maturity that is there. And it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. That's him as one who is God over all, but he's made of a woman, his humanity that brings him in. He's made under the law for the purpose of, you know, showing to man that here is one before the eyes of God as a man upon the earth. That checklist is there. He can check every box completely where we could not, so that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. This is what the Lord has done. This is what faith in him allows us now to move into this place of responsibility, this place of dignity, because he has fulfilled the law, checked every box as a man, and he's able now to help us, to redeem us from under the law, that we might receive this adoption of sonship.
And I wonder, as we consider this verse and everything we've had the last 3 days, and we find that the law proved what was the very worst in man. And that man failed completely in checking off the list. And so what the law brought out, what was the worst in man, his sinful condition. Then God sent forth his son, and God gave his very best that he had in his son. And then when where we started our study in verse 26, as sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus, this puts us in the position. This is where the adoption of verse 5 comes in, the adoption of sons. It takes us and places us now in this position as a son with dignity, with title. And he puts us there. Now, this doesn't mean as we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior that now we're mature in the faith. It tells us this is our position in Christ. But we might be a child of God as far as our spiritual life is concerned. We now need to grow spiritually. This is a different thing. Here we are talking about our position. We are accepted in Christ as full-grown, mature sons positionally. The moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Just a little help too on verse 4. We have said all week long that we have been dealing with a God who was in the Old Testament dealing with the nation of Israel. But we have found that when the fullness of time came in, the blessings could not be limited to that nation of Israel. Now look at the accuracy of the book that's in your hands. Tony has read this. God sent forth his son made of a woman. Why does it say that? Because there's a whole Adam's race, and they're not part of Judaism. They're not Jews. They're Gentiles. They're you and me in this room that have no ties whatsoever to Judaism, the temple, the offerings, all of those things. So I find I'm included right here. I'm in Adam's race. But then there was in particular the nation of Israel. The law was given to the nation of Israel. Look at the next part. Made under the law. to redeem them that were under the law. Who was that? That was Paul, Saul of Tarsus, and the Jews. They were under the law. And then he uses this all-inclusive word. You that are Gentiles, we that were under the law, he says that we might receive the adoption of sons. And here's the next part. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. What a blessing that there is living in me today and in you, if you're saved, a divine person. The Lord Jesus gave you life. Life is not the Holy Spirit. Life is what I needed because I was dead. Where there was death, there's life. But I find I need power. I need to be able to walk with Christ, to obey him, to understand his word. Well, he says, I've made that provision for you. I have number one sealed you. We had here last year, 2 years ago. A seal is a mark of ownership. This one is mine. My name is on this Bible. This Bible doesn't belong to Andrew or John. You pick it up and you say, Chuck Berry's on there. That's Chuck's Bible. And the Lord looks down on you that he has saved and he has put his Spirit in you. And he says, this one belongs to me. She is mine. He is mine. And he's given the Spirit of God to be the evidence of it.
We are posing. Any questions so far? Any comments? Are you digesting what Brother Chuck have said? It's really, really important. A matter of life, a matter of power, a matter of position that you as a believer get. So think about it, and we're going to pause for a minute or so. Let me know, let's know if you have a question, if you have a comment on that section. Because now we know what we are talking about, sons.
If we are sons and God has put his Spirit in us.
Since we are sons.
Right, sorry. I, the question that I want to get to is dealing with security. Then if we have truly believed and the Spirit has given to us, does the Spirit ever leave us?
I need a young man to answer that question.
No, it doesn't leave us.
See.
What can we do to it? There's two things we can do to it.
We can listen to it and obey it, or we can ignore it and wander off.
Okay.
Grieve the Spirit.
We can grieve him.
Quench.
And we can quench him. Somebody help us. What's the difference? Pull the mic around. Help us to know the difference.
Grieving the Spirit. Grieving the Spirit is doing what you're not supposed to do. Quenching the Spirit is not doing what you're supposed to do. Real plain and simple.
More? That's good. Okay. Andrew? Okay.